This evening is Shivasa Batamas, which ushers in the 3 weeks. It's called the 3 weeks called Bena Mitzarim. You know, between the between the boundaries. Shivasa Batamas and Tisha B'Av are considered to be like the two boundaries, and like the Maharal explains. It's like the two boundaries of a gash. When you have a rip in the fabric, so there's the right side, you know, of the gash and the left side of the gash, and one is where the gash started from and one's where it ended. You know, the gash, you know, one pole is where it started from, and you know, the gash went and went until the rip ended at that point. And then Maharal says, so also whatever's wrong with the Jewish people, you know, whatever wrong, you know, with the whole world, that we're in a state of exile, so that's called like the gash in the cosmic fiber, you know, the cosmic fabric, I mean to say. And it starts with Shivasa Batamas, and the gash goes, and it's a 3 week long gash. The gash in time takes up 3 weeks, and parallel to that, it takes up, you know, a certain amount of space in reality, and one of the dimensions of, reality is time. So it takes up 3 weeks worth of time, and that's parallel, that runs parallel to the amount of space it takes up, you know, in reality. So the time aspect of that space is 3 weeks long. And Shivasa Thomas is the beginning of the gash in cosmic fabric. And Tisha B'Av is where it ends. And that's why it gets worse and worse and worse until Tisha B'Av gets the worst. But when it reaches the end, it doesn't get any worse. And that's why after Tisha B'Av it gets better, right? On the 10th of Av, there's only a little bit of mourning. And then by noontime on the 10th of Av, the mourning is totally over, because where it ends is where it ends. And it doesn't continue past that point. And that's part of, you know, the idea that Tisha B'Av will one day be a Yom Tov, because it's where it ends. So where it ends is where it's the worst. But on the other hand, where it's the worst, it doesn't get any further than that. And it can only get better, and it does get better. So Tisha B'Av is also the turning point. But Anam B'Didan, we have to talk about what tonight is. You know, Shivasa B'Tamlas, you know, the fast starts tomorrow, but tonight already is the date of Shivasa B'Tamlas. It's the beginning, right? It's the, as the Maharal says in Gvoros Hashem, in Netzach Yisrael, in the 8th chapter, Shivasa B'Tamlas is the boundary, which is called the starting point, and Tisha B'Av is the boundary that's called the end point. All right. And everything about Shivasa B'Tamlas is the beginning, and every thing about Tisha B'Av is about the finality, you know, of the destruction. So Shivasa B'Tamlas is the beginning of the end, and Tisha B'Av is the end of the end. All right. And after that, it can only get better, because the end is ended. But to talk about now, deeper, you know, about the Shivasa B'Tamlas, which is, as we said, the beginning of the end. It's the boundary of where the gash in the cosmic fabric starts from. So Chazal tell us that that 5 things happened on Shivasa B'Tamlas, and another 5 things happened on Tisha B'Av, and the Maharal in the aforementioned chapter Netzach Yisrael shows how The 5 of Shivasa B'Tamlas is the beginning of the end, and the 5 that happen on Tisha B'Av are the end of the end. All right, so the 5 things that are called the beginning of the end, right, in Shivasa B'Tamlas, right, are first that the eagle was made, right, the luchos were broken, right, the Torah was burnt, right, and there was the city was breached on that day, right, and there was a idol put up in the temple on that day, and also on that day the Korbanos ceased. So that which I said, the luchos were broken. That was in response that the golden calf was made the day before. So the breaking of the luchos is, you know, the next day. It's the continuation of having made the golden calf the day before. And so that's why it's all counted as one, because the breaking luchas happened the next day in response to the golden calf. And so those two are one, and then with the others, you know, it all sum total of five. And like the Maharal explains, he said he actually hides more than what he reveals. Says if you look carefully, all these five are just the beginning of the end. It's not a final state of destruction. The luchas were broken, all right, but we got other luchas, right? The Torah was burnt, okay, but that wasn't the only safer Torah around. Thank God Torah endures, right? And the karbonis, stopped, but karbonis could resume. The temple was still standing. The temple was defiled with an idol, right? So, okay, but the temple is still there. It's still fixable. It's a setback, but it's not a destruction. The destruction of the temple means no more temple. There still is a temple. It's still, so albeit it's the beginning of the end, but it's not a final state of destruction. And same thing, the walls of Yerushalayim were breached. That day was when they broke in, right? So same thing as that's the beginning of the end, but the end is when Yerushalayim is actually destroyed, and that's on Tisha B'Av when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, because that's like the center of Yerushalayim. But I want to go one step deeper into the concept of the beginning of the end. And the Maharal just explains it on, openly, that is. He alludes to that there's more to it, right? But what he only says openly is, on the apparent level, you see, it's not total destruction yet. I want to go a little bit deeper into this, how these five are the beginning of the end. And so, first, to show a common thread between these five. That the most obvious common thread, there's automatically between two, right? The breaking of the luchas, right? And the burning of the Torah, right? So they're both Torah, that there's a destruction of the Torah. Luchas was a form of Torah, and then Achpastum is burnt the Sefer Torah, right? And now, once we have that lead, we realize also that Chazal tell us, right, in a few places, that the walls of Yerushalayim represent Torah. Right, the pasuk says in Tehillim, "Omdos hayu ragleinu b'shorayach Yerushalayim, our land, our feet stood, right, by the gates of Yerushalayim." So Chazal explained that pasuk to mean that our feet stood up in war, when we're at war in against our enemies. In what merit did our feet stand in war? In the merit of the gates of Yerushalayim, that there they learned Torah, and merit of the Torah study that's represented by the gates of Yerushalayim, that's what gave us the power to withstand war and beat our enemies. So Shari Yerushalayim, the gates of Yerushalayim, represent those who learn. The pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, Ani Chayma, the Shari goes, I am like a wall, and my breasts are like towers. So I'm like a wall, that's the Torah. The Torah is a wall, and the breasts are like towers, that's the Talmid Chachamim that, give off Torah, right, to the people. They nurse the people with Torah. All right, so again, wall represents Torah, and from there we learn halacha, that Talmid Chachamim has to be ma midvarm kachoma. When he says Torah, he has to say things firm, that stand firm like a wall, that things are clear, clear, and he builds a case solid like a wall, right, that the walls of Yerushalayim represent Torah also, right? For reasons that we're about to explain, right? So the fact that statue, an idol, was put up in the temple, or that the karbonis ceased on this day, so that has a common root with Torah also, because the function of the Beis HaMikdash was to make the divine presence revealed, right? And Chazal say Yerushalayim is Aroi Shel Olam. Yerushalayim, which really is the Beis HaMikdash, the center of Yerushalayim, is the light of the world. The divine light that there is in the world, the divine perspective on things a person gets from the Beis HaMikdash. That's the light of the temple, how it enlightens us to see things from God's perspective. The light of the Shekhinah is there. And of course, you know, you're not going to get that light out of the Beis HaMikdash if there is an idol there, because, you know, it's supposed to be a place of the divine presence, and you've obviously, you're not going to see the divine presence if you're putting an idol there, which is the opposite of the divine presence, because you're putting up an idol, which is a different god. Right? And the same thing also, what keeps the divine presence being there, you know, what sustains the divine presence being there is the sacrificial order. And on that day, the sacrificial order ceased, so the divine presence also ceased. Like the Nefesh HaChaim likens it to that food keeps the soul in the body. Because even though the soul doesn't need food, but if you stop eating, you'll die, right? And the soul will pack out of the body. So also the karbonis, you know, he says, he explains it based on the Zohar, right? The karbonis are like the food, that even though the divine presence doesn't need, you know, the sacrifices, but the divine presence, which is like the spirit of the Beis Hamikdash, the neshama of the Beis Hamikdash, it's only going to hang around so long as there are the karbonis. Right, so in both cases, like the light of the Shechina, which is what a Beis Hamikdash is about, it's about giving us off divine light, giving us God's perspective on things, to go there, to get the proper perspective on things. So that's what got annulled, but the temple's still there, so you could fix the situation, you could reverse the situation. Right? And that's this aspect, that the light of the temple is darkened, because it's not being sustained with the sacrificial order, or it's being darkened because you put a Avodah Zarah there, which is the opposite of the God's divine light that's supposed to be there. So that's a common root with the Torah. Ki ner mitzvah v'Torah or, for a mitzvah is a candle and Torah is light, right? That the Torah, you know, is supposed to be what, you know, enlightens us, you know, guides us. Right, we're supposed to go by the light of the Torah. That's why, you know, sides for this puzzle, we just quoted that like it's mitzvah to candles and Torah to light, that it's not just supposed to be laws that we perform, but it's supposed to illuminate our eyes. It's supposed to influence our mind. Right? It's supposed to give us perspective. Right? So that's the commonality that the Torah has with the temple. And that's the secret that, you know, the highest court of law of the Jewish people, the Beis Din HaGadol, used to sit in the temple, in the Lishkas HaGozes. The two go together. Shetasim Sanhedrin Etzel HaMizbeach, Halacha, to put the Grand Rabbinical Court by the altar. The two go together. These are the sources of divine light for the Jewish people. Right? And that's why also in Aramaic, Torah is called Oraisa. The Lashon of, you know, the root of the word is Or, light. Torah is supposed to enlighten us, you know, that even if we don't have a temple, God forbid, so the divine light's revelation is not complete, but we should at least have it from the Torah. And on this day, the Torah, the Luchos broke, right? The Torah got burnt, and the light of it's all a commonality. The common thread is the divine light is extinguished. So even though the vessel to hold the divine light is still there, right, we could get another set of luchos, we could write another Sefer Torah, we could theoretically purify the temple, we could restart the sacrificial order, but fine, so the vessel to hold the light is still there, that the vessel, losing the entirety of the vessel, that's Tisha B'Av, right, but you know, the light within the vessel is extinguished, right, that is, you know, the beginning of the end, right, that, you know, the truth, when you think about it, any society that ever collapsed, you know, even though we can't equate the Jewish people with any other society, we're God's people, but on a lower level, on a running parallel, we're not setting up a perfect equation, we're just showing a parallel, that any society ever collapsed, it didn't happen all at once. First, they lost their perspective. They lost their belief in themselves. They lost their ideals, you know. First, the ideology and the spirit of the nation and the direction of the nation collapse, and after that, the nation itself collapsed. And you know, in this way, also, we're God's people, and the beginning of the end was losing our direction, and that's what Shivasa B'Tamuz represents, losing our direction. Right? You know, we don't have to go into all the details of the you know, the luchos, if we would have kept them, so Torah would have all been on a much higher level, that Torah would have been a lot more tangible, a lot more visible. Right now, Torah seems very theoretical, and that's because you know, that's rooted in this, the secret of the difference between the first tablets and the second tablets. The first tablets that broke, if we would have had them, we would have maintained the level that says by Sinai, the Cholam Roy Meskos, they saw the sound, they saw the words of Torah. Torah was like so real, was visible. It wasn't a theory that you have to believe in. It wasn't explanations you have to believe in. That was the manifestation of Torah that came through the second tablets. But from the first tablets, you know, Torah would have been a lot more visible, much more tangible. Our perspective in it would have been much more clear. Right? And it was a, you know, it was a neither connected neither, because why were the tablets broken? Because they made the golden calf. Why did they make the golden calf? Because from their mistaken perspective, they thought Moshe Rabbeinu was gone and wasn't coming back. The whole thing was triggered by a series of mistakes in perspective, mistaken outlook. Right? First, they thought Moshe Rabbeinu is not coming. Then after that, the way they decided to cope with the problem was misguided. They thought they have to take matters in their own hands and make the divine service more tangible by making a graven image, like the Kuzri explains, was a mistaken approach to deal with the problem. Right? So as a result, being off in perspective, so God says, you didn't hold the perspective correctly, so you don't deserve the right perspective. And that's why the Luchos broke. We lost a certain power of perspective. And of course, later in history, if Sefer Torah was burnt, it all represents losing perspective, particularly if it's the written law, the Torah Shebichsav. You know, how do you learn Torah Shebichsav with your eyes? Torah Shebaalpeh, you learn with your ears because it's oral. Torah Shebichsav, you see it, you know, you read it. It's black on white. And so Shiva Sans is losing perspective, losing the black on white, you know, losing the visual aspect of Torah, which, and you know, I just say, seeing is believing. When something's visible, it's undeniable and it's hard to forget about. Things that are only, you know, ideas are easy to forget about, right? Easy to ignore and easy to, you know, play with and manipulate and rationalize. Things that are visibly tangible, you know, is objective fact that's hard to ignore and hard to forget about. And that's, you know, what happens on Shavuos HaMatamos. Everything about it is, you know, that's the breach in the walls. The beginning of the end is loss of perspective. Loss of perspective. Loss of absoluteness of perspective. Right? And that's what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, right? In Perek Chelek, Kol mi she'ein bo das l'sof golemim kol. A person doesn't have das, his perspective is off. You know, he's not stupid, but his perspective is off. He's reality challenged. He has the wrong perspective on reality. L'sof, ultimately, golemim kol. He will go into exile. Again, seeing this point that exile starts from loss of perspective. Loss of perspective is what triggers exile. The truth is the way to overcome exile is with das, is to restore perspective. Right, that's what Gemara says in Brachas, I believe in Daf Lamed Gimel, Kol mi sheyesh bo dea k'mi shenivnasa beis mishkan. Anyone who has das has a correct perspective on reality, a total and complete proper perspective. It's as if the beis mishkan was rebuilt in his days. So loss of perspective is what leads to golus, because you lose your perspective, you lose your direction. You lose your direction, of course you'll be in the wrong place, because you lost your direction. Why did you lose your direction? Because you lost your perspective. All right? And the opposite is true. If you have your perspective straight, it's as if for you, that person who has das, for him, it's like there's a temple. Because he supplemented everything that a temple is supposed to give, that divine light, right? That divine light, that divine perspective, that divine view on things, which is the real view of things. Reality as it is according to God, the person who has real das has that. I think we've clarified, you know, what Shavuos HaMatamos is, and I just want to try it into our personal tragedy. We, the alumni of Neri Yisrael of Baltimore, that on this day, you know, for us it was, you know, for us we're very real that it's a day of losing the tablets, it's a day of the Torah being burnt, because our beloved Rebbe, the Rosh Yeshiva Zichron Lebracha, Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg, Zecher Tzadik Hashiv Bracha, was nifter on this day. And one thing that could be said about him is that he was a gadol in das, person who had his perspective straight, that, you know, seeing the whole picture. Right? Most people, you know, they have certain things straight, and they just try to concentrate on the things that they know they're right about, and they just ignore other things that they lack clarity in. And he wasn't that way. He wanted the whole picture and wanted to have the entire picture and have clarity in the entire picture and how it all fits together. He was a gadol b'das, right? And that's, you know, by no coincidence, we say this period is called Ben HaMitzarim, between the boundaries. We're caught between the boundaries. As the Pasuk says, in Eicha, Karofei Sigur Ben Tzarim, all those who preceded Jewish people caught them when we were stuck between the boundaries. Right, our Rebbe's name was Yaakov. I can't help to note the interesting Ashgacha. And we say it was a Gadol B'das that gets beyond the boundaries. Right? So Chazal say that a person who keeps Oneg Shabbos, so the Navi says he gets Nachlas Yaakov, which Chazal says, Nachla B'li Mitzarim. Nachla B'li Mitzarim. The inheritance of Yaakov. The Nachlas Yaakov is B'li Mitzarim, without boundaries. Without boundaries. Right? Das, right? The correct perspective of things sees the whole picture. It's not limited. It's not tunnel vision. Right? Tunnel vision is the first act of losing perspective. Not seeing the big picture is the first act of losing the perspective. And after you don't see the whole picture, you lose your bearings. Because you're just measuring relative to the few things that you see, and the few things that you see is not the whole picture. So that's why you lose your bearings. To have your bearings correct, you need to see everything, not be b'mitzarim, not be in tunnel vision. And he was b'li mitzarim. And that's why on this day, I urge everyone to also view all the special programming that we've posted in honor of his memory. And on this day, we decided to launch another project, the Nachlas Yaakov Cyber-based Medrash, to spread his teachings world over, not be b'mitzarim. His teachings shouldn't be limited to particular boundaries on the globe. You know, with the cyber-based Medrash, his teachings could be taught all over the globe as if everyone was learning from him in yeshiva. I urge everyone to go see the demonstration of this and everyone to come and participate and do it li'ili nishmasai, you know, Rabbeinu Shmuel Yaakov ben Rav Yitzchak Matisyo. All right, so please come and follow the links to all the special series we have running tonight and over the next day, Lili Lishmaso, and get involved.